Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
There's Bird with the ball against Mahomes.
He'll take it to the hoop. He can bet it. No credit, draws foul. It's blocked. And here's a disparity in the call. They're going to give the ball to Detroit. Bird steals it. Johnson, layup Boston. 1 second left.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
It's a two-point Sacramento lead. We're down to 7 seconds. Bryant putting a move on Christie. Rebound O'Neal. Coming up short. Ori for the win.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I love Dak Prescott. I love everything about him. I think he's a very unselfish player, and he only wants to win. He truly does not care about his stats. He just wants to win. He's a great leader. His teammates love him. I would pay him. He will get paid. I'm not saying the Cowboys don't already know. They will pay him. He's going to make a lot of money.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. It is time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this Tuesday afternoon.
What is happening?
Nothing.
Nothing's happening
at all.
There's all sorts of stuff happening
is
today.
Is there?
We're all dialed in, man.
Are we dialed
Everything's
in?
Returning. Yeah. The world is back.
Yeah.
Things are coming back to normal.
100,000 people are going to die tomorrow.
Minor details.
No
minor
big deal. Details. Nothing to see here. Let's get SEC football back, though.
Football's back, baby! Hockey could be back. They're voting on an NBA thing today.
Hockey's back, isn't it? Isn't that a done deal?
I don't know if it's quite done yet.
Well, he's announcing at 1:30 that they're coming back.
Okay, so an announcement at 1:30. I'm going to hold off. I don't want to say it's official until it's official. You know what I mean?
But if it's an official announcement in 1 hour and 30 minutes,
then it's back.
Then it's back?
Then it's back.
Okay.
Quite there yet, though.
We actually, I have a hockey guest.
We have a hockey person coming on the show today?
I actually booked somebody that covers the NHL, and they're real.
Let's talk some hockey, eh?
And it was not easy to find these contact numbers, so I hope I'm getting paid extra for this.
Yeah, we don't have an NHL blue book, huh? That's actually a decent get, too, because there's no NHL team here. So I think a hockey writer would probably get that phone call and think to themselves, why would I go on in Portland, Oregon?
Yeah.
When it doesn't really pertain to them because their team's not coming back because they don't have an NHL team.
Well, that's true. And I would say largely this job is easy, but booking a hockey guest is not.
Not
that
easy.
Goes in the not easy category.
Not easy.
I'm sorry. It's not that simple. So there you go.
So that's happening today at 1:30. I have an announcement on that. You apparently have a very serious phone call going down between the owners and the players in baseball.
This seems to kind of be it.
This is right? It. Like it's today, yeah. It's this week.
If this doesn't get worked out this week, I mean, Passan was on every show known to man on ESPN and basically, to sum it up, said, this is it. Like they have to agree this week. They have to agree with the amount. He doesn't know. Nobody knows what the revenue split or if they're going to do deferred payment.
Mm-hmm.
Deferred payment, even though it's going to cut their money, it seems like that's their choice. Like the players, if they're going to play, have to agree to the deferred payment.
Yes.
That way they get the full amount, but in a later date.
When revenues are back to being at normal levels.
Yes. So we'll get baseball news today or tomorrow. So that's good.
Well, I think it's one of those things, too, where you kind of want to know at this point. Like, I think there's a drag out process there that people get fatigued by when there's not anything that concrete comes out about it. Like, the owners approved the plan, and that was like 2 weeks ago, and everybody jumped up and down saying baseball's coming back. It's like, well, hold off. The Players Association has to approve the entire thing. So I think it would be nice for Major League Baseball, as depressing as it would be, even if they say we can't come to an agreement, there's not going to be a season this year, at least you know. And it's not one of those things where it's like three more weeks go on of dragging it out. Can they agree? Can they come to terms? Like, let's just get an answer on this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you hope that they can get to that point. But I don't know anymore. I don't know what to make of it because one day it sounds like it's all the owner's fault. Another day it sounds like it's the players. I don't know at this point.
It's going to be booming for hockey, though, man. Hockey comes back, ratings bonanza.
Well,
let's go.
Are they still going to be playing playoff games on the Oxygen Channel?
I don't know.
I got to hear the plan, because what I was hearing was they were going to set it up. They were going to have two hub cities, a Western Conference hub and an Eastern Conference hub. So what I'm thinking is between NBC Sports Network and NBC and maybe one other NBC channel, or maybe the NHL Network.
Right, right.
You can just, they're going to be in, you can just stagger them, and you can start them at noon and go till 11 o'clock at night and just stagger games back and forth.
Yeah, with no fans in attendance, you don't have to worry about being in prime time or that stuff. Yeah.
It's so you don't have a situation where you'll have three or four games going on at once. You may have the end of one overlapping into the start of the other one, but if you stagger it all and you're in the same locations and you just go back and forth between East and West, I think you could have 4 to 6 games a day.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the test. Because I'm not convinced people are going to watch hockey. I could be wrong.
If they come back before everything else and they get them sucked in.
Not convinced. Yeah, how do you get them sucked into that season? You already lose. It's starting the playoffs, right? Presumably.
It
would just be a sprint to the finish line.
I think that's the ultimate sports test. Like golf, and we'll talk about the Brady stuff, like the golf thing.
Yeah, but those are four of the biggest sports icons in the United States.
But no, yeah, let me finish my point.
Okay.
The golf thing is pretty easy to describe for ratings because, well, I think more people relate to golf in a certain regard. You bring up maybe the two of the seven most iconic names in the golf's history to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. That's always going to draw people in. Then you add the football element. Even though the conditions sucked. I think hockey is going to be the first real test of you put anything on. Because I think you and I have both subscribed to this of you put something on right now and everybody's going to consume it because we want sports.
I'm going to watch it.
Hockey's the ultimate test to this because we know baseball will get eyes. We know the NBA will get eyes. They might both be really weird and we might not like it. But I want to know how invested people are, how much people miss sports. I think hockey can kind of be a barometer for that.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity. But the key, and this is true with any other sport, if you want to capitalize on it, is you have to be the first one back. And it doesn't mean you want to rush and not have the right safety protocols. But if you're somehow able to jump ahead of the NBA by 2 weeks and you let it build up for 2 weeks, every metric that we've seen so far from all the random things that are going on is that people are watching and they're desperate for it. Like the Bundesliga is a prime example of that.
What are NASCAR's numbers from their races?
I'll have
that
to check. I know the first one was good. I didn't see on
they
this
had the big
weekend, but
600 miler. Then they had weather delays too.
Yeah. So I mean, that could,
and
screw
that was
it up
on,
a
that
bit.
One was on Fox Network.
And that's where I think if you're the first one, the first major team sport that can come back, I think there's a window there for you. Now, are your numbers going to reach like the NFL's? Like, no, of course not.
I think
there's going to be a boom, at least in the short term, until other things come back, because you could be looking at a scenario by the end of June, or excuse me, the end of July, where you have hockey, baseball, and basketball all going on at the same time again. And that's a very optimistic take, but we could potentially get there by the end of the month. So that's when it's going to be a little bit tougher. But if you're able to cultivate an audience because you're the only main thing that's on television, if people are watching Bundesliga soccer and their numbers are up like 20-30%, I imagine the same thing will ring true for the NHL.
The tough thing, I think, with that is just identifying, because were those American numbers or worldwide numbers? If it's worldwide, that's
those are American numbers. They were American numbers.
They're up 700% in America?
Yeah, the number, because the numbers, nobody was watching Bundesliga soccer in America before the
coronavirus. I'm still not watching Bundesliga soccer.
Sure, but the numbers are still up.
Yeah. I'll have to look. All I'm getting is the last, or that first race that they returned, where it went up like 30-some percent.
Yeah.
I can't find the last. I think they've had two or three races since that first one.
Yeah, they had the midweek. They had that midweek one, and then they had the one on Sunday, the Charlotte, the Coca-Cola 600.
Yeah, that, I mean, your point is still valid about what channels are you on, because if you're on the Oxygen channel, like, it's just, you know.
Well, we joke about that, but they are on some other cable network.
But the point that Swag brings up is a valid one, in that you don't have to space them out the way that you used to, because there's no audiences there. So you have the ability to play games whenever you want throughout the course of the day, especially now when what percentage of people are still working from home?
A lot.
Right?
A
so, like, if you're going to throw a game on, it's a little different if you're throwing a playoff game on at 12:30 on a normal Wednesday when there's no pandemic and everybody's at work. You're not going to be able to see it. But as of now, like, did you throw one of those on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? How many people are just sitting around their houses that are working or trying to fill time during the day, and you're just looking for something to watch on TV?
I think it's going to be very interesting to follow it, and I'm looking forward to the announcement today, and I don't know when they're set to return. I didn't see a date on there. I just know that Bettman was supposed to talk at 1:30, but I'd love to hear from listeners out there, maybe even those who don't follow hockey. I know there's a decent amount that admittedly probably don't. Are you to the point where you want sports, and if hockey is the first back, you're going to watch all of the hockey games that we get, all the playoff matchups that you get, no matter if you know the teams or not? I don't think that's necessarily important.
No,
it's because not. It's just sports on TV. Pick a team if you want.
Right. I don't know any Korean baseball team.
No, yeah.
If I'm sitting around on a Friday at 11 o'clock at night, there's nothing else on TV.
Yeah, give me the DC Dinos, though.
I'm going to watch a chunk of that game.
All right, well, we're back. Nice little four-day weekend for us. Let's find out what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
Well, we mentioned the hockey is on tap, brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. We'll talk a little bit more about the deadline set by Jeff Passan.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes can't tell anymore. Is it really a hard deadline, or is Passan and ESPN doing everything they can to rope me in on all of their daily shows? Yeah,
this is it. You gotta watch.
This is it. Coming up next, Jeff Passan tells us. Are they in or are they out? I feel like I've heard that 18 different times. Portland Trailblazer is not happy about the NBA's potential format, and he voiced his opinions to his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that. Brian McNally works for NBC Washington in D.C. He covers the Capitals. He's going to join us for the ticker.
Let's go.
For 6 or 7 minutes. I want to get his thoughts on, as a non-hockey fan.
Let's talk some hockey, eh?
I want to know if he likes what they're going to plan to do.
Yeah, the whole format's changed, because that's going on in the NBA right now. Is like, what do you want it to look like? They're changing the whole format up.
They really are. Reggie Bush made a comment that everybody freaked out about, but don't worry, I got the real story. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning play in the match 2. Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning win.
A lot of people watching. Tom Brady sucks and he split his pants.
Oh, I do want to ask you, do you think that was a big number, or were you expecting more in your mind? I thought they might get to 10 mil. I was a little surprised.
I didn't think they'd go that high. They outrated two major championships from last year.
Yeah, isn't it the highest rated cable TV golf event they've ever had?
Yeah. And it was four guys in golf carts.
Well, also, I think there's a takeaway from it, too. Why don't we have more of this?
Okay.
Doesn't necessarily have to be Peyton or Tom Brady. Also, Tom Brady, you're an 8 handicap.
Not buying it.
That'd be like me saying I'm an 8 handicap.
Not buying it.
Spraying it everywhere.
Yeah, I totally whiffed on that opinion, too. It was fun to watch those guys play. Because initially, I wanted four golfers. Like, why are we having NFL quarterback or one former and one current NFL quarterback play? This is stupid. Give me golfers. But they were very entertaining to watch.
I think that's a good point. I still think I'd rather have four golfers.
The question is, though, would the ratings have been, was it Tiger Woods driven, or how much did Tom and Peyton have to do with the TV ratings?
Oh, I think they were 60% of the rating drive.
Because Tiger will rope a lot of people in. We know that over the years.
What do people like to see the most? They want to see how great athletes are at other sports. I had no idea if Tom Brady was a real good golfer.
Right. You just think he is.
But yeah, if you list an 8 handicap, you're pretty damn good in my book.
Yep.
And he came out there looking like Brandon Sprague off the tee box. Every shot sprayed right, sprayed left, got one good birdie.
Yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit about that. I watched about half of Lance Armstrong 30 for 30. Not a fan.
Turned it off.
I couldn't do it anymore.
Just couldn't handle it.
Well, yeah, and I want to know if anybody else watched. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch a second of it. No, I was not interested in that one.
Yeah, that is exactly what I thought it was going to be, and I'm pretty disappointed with that.
Going on the redemption tour?
Yeah, still. Like, forgive me, I'm a POS. I cursed people out, but man, forgive me. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. We got NFL true or false, crunch time, etc. But we'll start with Damian Lillard, who voiced his opinion on Portland coming back to finish the regular season. He is not going to play if Portland doesn't have a chance to make the playoffs. He told Chris Haynes this. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. Well, 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 well. I feel like if an athlete in a different city said this, people in Portland wouldn't be so quick to defend. In fact, they'd probably call it out. Now, that's not putting my opinion, my personal view of it on it. I know how Portland fan can be from time to time. And if Steph Curry or Russell Westbrook or anybody else said this, I'm not sure it's sitting the same way in Portland as it is with this man. Damian Lillard told Chris Haynes, quote, if we come back and they're just like, we're adding a few games to finish the regular season and they're throwing us out there for meaningless games and we don't have a true opportunity to get into the playoffs, I'm going to be with my team because I'm a part of the team, but I'm not going to be participating. I'm telling you that right now, and you can put that in there. He told Chris Haynes this via phone call this morning.
I love it. I love it. And I don't have any problem with anybody saying this. The Warriors came out, was it Steve Kerr or Steph Curry, whatever, like a couple of weeks ago, basically saying they already realized that their season's done.
He said that. Steve Kerr has said that twice now. He said they're not prepared at all or getting ready, like, dude, for the regular season.
We're the worst
end.
Team in the league. Like, why are we going to show up? Nobody needs us there to play. Like, this is dumb. We're 40 games out of the playoff race. Why are we going to Orlando? I have no problem with this whatsoever.
Dame added, if we come back and I don't have an opportunity to make the playoffs, I will show up to work. I'll be at practice and I'll be with my team. I'm going to do all of that. And then I'm going to be sitting right on that bench during games. If they come back and say it's something like a tournament play-in style between the 7 and 12 seeds, if we're playing for playoff spots, then I think that's perfect. End quote. So he's saying he's not going to play. If they have like 5 games and they say, hey, the bottom 3 teams in each conference, you stay home. Mm-hmm. Everybody else come back. The teams that are out of the playoff race, we're playing 5 regular season games. And then if you don't make it, you're out. He's basically saying in that scenario, he will be done. He will not be making a return to the court outside of practices and sitting on the bench with his guys. That, however, does not seem, in Dame's defense, to be the prevailing thought of what they're potentially going to do. So bear with me here. There's about 5 different scenarios that have been thrown out there. Anything from 1 through 16 seeds playing in the playoff, changing mm-hmm. the format entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have toyed with that notion of, you know, you combine the East with the West. Some people think you do a play-in tournament, like Dame suggests, between 7 and 12 seeds. Give like 5 teams a legit chance there. And then there's other people like Kevin O'Connor who thinks, or according to him, he's heard some people around the league offices cite that they want to do World Cup-like draw for different stages. So the first stage, you'll have groups 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's the 4 best teams in the NBA. So your tier 1 is Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, Clippers. Tier 2, Jazz, Heat, Celtics, Nuggets. Portland would be in this group 1. This is just a hypothetical. This is not how it's laid out. But a hypothetical idea of what they do in the World Cup, where you get 2 teams that advance, mm-hmm. and then everybody else that loses 2 games, you're done. Portland and Kevin O'Connor's group stage draw would be with the Bucks, Jazz, Sixers, Grizzlies, and them. I would not like their chances in those.
I would not either.
But that is another scenario that they're maybe toying with. So far, we know they're pretty adamant on having 7 best of 7 series in their playoffs. They don't want to change that at all. But we have no idea where they're leaning for how they want to roll this out for the return. Seems optimistic still. Players really want to play.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they're on board with it.
The NBA, I think, is going to make it happen. They just need to figure out how do they want to finish the year. Do you start in the postseason? Do you do 7 through 12 play-in tournaments? And if you do, aren't you just rewarding those teams with facing the Lakers in round one?
Right.
There's a lot to figure out with this. I heard a little bit about the Woj and Zach Lowe podcast. They did a two-parter. I heard some of part one. Basically, a lot of players feel like Damian Lillard feel, that if we have no chance, I ain't coming back and playing.
Which you can't blame them at all for that mentality. I understand that it's going to upset some people because of the amount of money that they make, and they see it as a goodwill opportunity to give us something to be entertained by after everything that the country has gone through over the last couple of months. I don't put that responsibility necessarily on their shoulders, because everybody that's in the playoffs or has a chance to be in the playoffs is, of course, going to be there competing, and we're going to have basketball to watch for a month and a half. I don't need to see Damian Lillard play five games. I don't need to see Steph Curry play five games just to get to a 70-game TV contract and then go home.
I don't think Steph would
play.
Right?
It doesn't make any sense. There's no need for it. The only follow-up question I had for Dame, and I'd love to hear his thoughts on it, is would this mentality stick if the season would have played out normally and there wasn't a pandemic? Because this is finally him or at least acknowledging, like, when we're out of the playoffs and there's nothing for me to play for, I'm not going to play.
Oh, you know, that is
because that was my first thought.
Good question, my man. I did not put that together. And, I'd have to think on that.
Because this is a unique situation. I get it. But if they had played out the regular season and you got to the point where there's 10 games left and you're 10 games, whatever.
Say you're 3.5 with 4 left.
Right.
Is he playing those last 4 games?
Based on this logic, he would say, no, we don't have a chance to make the playoffs. Which, by the way, I love. Finally, a pro Damian Lillard tank. I'm all for it.
No, it's not really.
not a complete really a tank. It's like a mini tank, you know? It's like a like a little baby tank or something. The thing, though, with the NBA, they are outthinking the room here. I don't know why you'd need to make this so complicated. The big question you have to answer is, do you need to get to that local TV contract number? And if that's the case, then you have to bring teams back and have them play a couple of games. If that's not a prerequisite, honestly, why are teams like Portland going? If you're only going to play 3 or 4 regular season games, the opinion of the players is that we're not going to participate unless we can make the playoffs. So you're going to get the Blazers basically playing a summer league roster, because if Dame's feeling that way, I'd be shocked if CJ was going to play. I'd be shocked if Collins is going to return and risk an injury. They probably wouldn't want to play Nurkic either. So you're going to get a summer league roster to play 4 games. That's stupid. If you want to let them warm up before the playoffs start, just play a couple of scrimmage games, let them run around a little bit, put it on TV, people will watch, and then you jump into the postseason. This whole notion about tiers and changing the format, like, why? You played almost 70 games of your regular season. Like, how does it make any sense after, what do they play, 65, 66 games, for Dallas to have to play a one-game play-in against Portland? They're like 11 games ahead of Portland in the standings. Like, injuries were sucked. Like, I get it. The Blazers had a down year this year, but that's completely unfair to Dallas for what they did through the entire regular season.
Well, I would respond to that, too, and I'd kind of piggyback off it of, I think you kind of... you're messing with something that you don't want to necessarily. Like, do you really want San Antonio and Portland's of the... And look, I love me Damian Lillard. I'll always be a fan of watching him in the postseason. So don't take this the wrong way, listeners. But do we really want to see San Antonio's of the world or Portland's of the world who didn't have good seasons, some suffered injury setbacks, knock out guys like Luka Doncic, who's having a great second year?
If you have a one-game play, and anything could happen. Dame could get hot, you could beat Dallas. And it's like, they were 11 games better than you in the regular season.
I also don't get what's the point of it if you just face the Lakers or the Bucks? You're just going to get swept. You're going to get killed.
Right.
And maybe some people don't maybe subscribe to that. They could think, well, the time off hurt LeBron and younger teams could benefit. Maybe that's the case. I've heard that argument. The only thing I would like to see them do, I'd like warm-up games. I think warm-up games were good. I think it would help some of the veteran-laden teams, and then you'd still have a mix of young players. Like, the Pelicans would go there.
Sure.
You're telling me you get to see Zion, you don't want to? Yes, I do. Give them 8 games.
Now, do you want, like, preseason games, or do you want them to
count?
No,
I want them to count. I want them to have 2 weeks of practice time. You're a pro athlete making anywhere from $2 million to $100 million. You should have kept yourself in shape this entire time. There is literally no excuse for it.
Yeah, that's on you.
Like, I don't want to hear the sob stories about how they're fat going back. It's like, what else did you do? You're a pro athlete.
Right, we're not talking general Americans here. We're talking pro athletes.
And so I think you give them 2 week warm-up time. They do practices like training camp. And then you come out. I think you play 8 games, regular season. That gives teams like Portland, like New Orleans, a chance to be the 8th seed. Maybe a young team like Memphis isn't ready. And then I'd actually like to see a change. If you're ever going to see what something looks like, and if it's maybe the better way to do it, this is your year. This is the year among all years of outliers of, all right, we've kicked around the idea of doing 1 through 16 instead of doing 8 and 8 in the conferences. Mm-hmm. Just do that.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Just get, you have an 8-game regular season. Whoever makes it, great. You have your 8 and your 8. And then go by record, and I would love for them to try this year a 1 through 16 matchup. East, West, doesn't matter to me. They're all in the same location anyway. And maybe you walk away, even though it's going to be a drastically different environment. No fans in the stadium, maybe piped in noise, maybe no noise. It's going to be so different. Maybe it ends up working. Maybe we love it. We love watching the Bucks, and coincidentally, they're taking on the worst team in the playoffs, I think it would be the Nets. Or whoever it would end up being, they would eliminate them. And I would just like to see it that way versus the 1-8, 1-8, and then find your way to the finals. Give me the two best teams you can.
And I'd be okay with that because that's not, I get that it's a big change for the NBA, but it's not a overhaul of the entire landscape, as in tiers or play-in tournaments for the playoffs. I know they've talked about those in the past. I think in a situation like this where you already have a long track record of a regular season and you have some teams that outperformed others for whatever reason, I just don't like putting them in that scenario. It's not fair to them, and we would be making the same argument if Portland was flipped with like Houston or Dallas right now and you were 11 games better than the 9th or 10th seed. We would be making the same argument, like, this is dumb. We played almost 70 games of a regular season and you're going to give us a one-off. It goes back to the whole baseball argument. You played an entire season,
I
like, and now it's
it.
Going to come down to one game. This is stupid. We outperformed you for almost 70 games of a regular season. The 1 through 16 I'm okay with, because that to me is it's more of a minor tweak. You're still going to get series, you're still going to get first, second, third round, semifinals, an NBA championship. I'd be okay trying something like that out. But when you start to banter about tiers and World Cup style play, like,
you don't want the group draws.
That's dumb. You don't need, there's no need for that in any way, shape or form.
What would you like?
I think that the best case scenario would be to give everybody 5 to 6 regular season games, and then you give teams like Portland and New Orleans, if they want to go for it, a chance. Very unlikely.
Do you view that as a chance? Because I don't know if Dame plays if you have 5.
If you do the 1 through 16 seeding, it would be a chance, because I think you're a game and a half behind Orlando. Orlando, I think, would be the 16 seed if you had it shaped that way. So you would be close to them. Memphis, you're probably not going to reach again because you're 3.5 back. But give everybody a chance to play a couple of games. That way, every localized fan base has something at least to tune into.
Yeah.
And Blazer fans, look, we can all bitch if we want Dame to play, but we're still going to watch. Even if it's a summer league, we watch summer league games, right? Like, if it's Anthony Simons running the point, well, of course we're going to watch that. Are you kidding me?
Can I tell you what else I'd root for? And then we'll go to the ticker. I would root for the bottom three in each conference to do their own mini tournament in Orlando. And the winner gets the one seed.
I'd be
or the number one
that.
Pick.
Yeah.
I would love to watch them play for draft status.
I would be all for
it. Instead
that.
Of just say, well, the Knicks were the worst or the Warriors were the worst. Here's the pick. Play for it. I'd love that.
That would be great.
You then, put Stephen Clay out
dude,
there.
We'd have Portland would have a chance, man. If you do all the non-playoff teams to give a chance at the number one pick.
Let's go. All right. Coming up next, there's going to be some good news in sports today. Gary Bettman is supposed to announce the NHL's return at 1:30. So we'll talk with Brian McNally of NBC Washington. He covers the Capitals. We'll get his thoughts on the NHL's plan to roll out. And then we maybe take away from that how it work for other sports. We'll get to it next. Daily Ticker.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Brian McNally works for NBC Washington, covering the Capitals and all things D.C. sports. On Twitter at BMcNally14. Give him a follow on Twitter. He is, I believe, Brian, you're our first hockey guest I think we've ever had on the radio show. Welcome in.
Oh, nice. I'm honored, guys. That's awesome.
No, thanks for hopping on, man. We appreciate the time. Just from what you're hearing, the Bettman announcement set to be about an hour from right now. Do you like the approach the NHL has taken in getting to this point? And do we like the idea that's been floated out there of what they're potentially going to do to finish their season?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were always going to have to get creative, right? It was always going to be a tough pull to have a traditional 16-team Stanley Cup format and all that stuff. So We don't know exactly what Bettman's going to say today, but when he comes out, if it is like a 2014 tournament or there's some version of a play-in round, you know, not everybody is going to be thrilled with it. Not everybody is going to be completely happy. But I also think the league as a whole, players, coaches, everybody gets that you have to be a little creative in these situations. These aren't normal times. And, you know, you want to finish what you started. You want to finish the games that you spent. You know, these guys played 70 games, almost a full season. They want to finish it off and crown a champion. And I think today will at least be the start towards that.
How much hunger do you think there is around the league to try and be the first major American team sport to return? Because we were talking about that earlier. Just can you capitalize on maybe getting more eyeballs than you normally would? Do you think there's a big drive there for the NHL to want to be that first one back?
It's a good question. That's interesting because for a long time, I think we thought baseball would be maybe the first one back. And, you know, so it's going to be a crowded sports calendar, no doubt. I think for them, maybe that was a slight factor, but I don't know that in the end, it makes that big a difference because no matter what, if the NHL is back playing at a neutral site, the NBA is going to be back playing at a neutral site pretty much at the same time. Baseball should be going on at neutral sites without fans at the same time. So they may get a little bit of juice out of announcing it first, but even then they're not going to have full details today. I would assume they're not going to have, everything locked down. So, it may be a little boost for today, but I don't know that it gets them that much once we get to, say, hopefully July and games are going on all over the place.
Brian McNally here. NBC Washington covers the Capitals and a whole lot more in D.C. is our guest as Gary Bettman is set to announce in about an hour the potential return for the NHL. And we'll have to see the details of their plan. Much like the NBA, a lot of people have wondered in the NBA about the validity of the champion, the asterisk next to the champion in the NBA, depending on how they do their return. How much of that is a factor in the NHL circles, depending on if it's a big tournament, if it's standard format? Is the hockey community talking about that aspect of maybe not giving validity to the champion this year?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I think the NHL is in a good position in that they had basically a full regular season. I mean, we've had hockey champions crowned in 48-game regular seasons, right, during lockout years. And the champion, I think, who won it in 12, I think it was the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks won it in 12. No one really goes back and says, that doesn't really count. No, they say the Blackhawks were a dynasty. They won 3 cups in 6 years, whatever it was. So I think the difference this time is obviously the fans. It will be weird to have, you know, you win a title and there's not, you know, even like I covered the Caps 2018 championship. They won it in Vegas. It was a road game, right? There were still 6,000 Caps fans in the building who were lining the ice and cheering as the cup was raised and screaming as Ovechkin kind of skated past. Like that is the thing more than anything else that makes this different. I think validity-wise, no, you're still out there on the ice competing. I think it's still a legitimate champion. You still had more than a legitimate regular season. God knows people complain about how long the NBA and NHL seasons are anyway. So, like, I don't think it's a big deal that if they only finish 70 games. I mean, that's more than enough to figure out who's good and who's not. And then I think you're on the ice competing. It's still valid. It's just really weird not to have fans there cheering them on and the atmosphere that you've got. And you guys know when you see a playoff hockey game, the atmosphere is off the charts, and it'll be different not to have that. But they're still playing for a cup. I think they'll still be excited and they'll still be engaged, and it'll still matter when they do.
Yeah, it's still the same sport when you eventually crown a champion. Now, we've seen the NBA is trying to come out with their plan. Major League Baseball is trying to come out with their plan. And I've seen this more on the baseball side where there's a huge financial fight going on of how much, what are you going to get and how do you separate it? Is it prorated? Is it not? Salary cap, but not so much in the NBA. Where's the NHL on that in this plan? Are the Players Association and the owners, are they all in lockstep? Because you mentioned there's been lockouts in the past. We know that's been an issue in hockey. Is there any financial disagreement about this?
I think the financial stuff will come down the line. I think that in a way the NBA and NHL were, I mean, no one's fortunate in this situation, but because they got so much of their season in, their players got paid, right? They got most of their money from this year. Now the fight will be about, you know, are you making your TV partners whole over the summer with the playoffs? Are the ratings good and people are watching and engaged? Because players don't get paid in the playoffs. So They're playing for a cup, literally, and nothing else. They're not getting paychecks in April, May, and June. And I assume it's the same way in the NBA. So in that case, I think it's more about can they get revenues for the league. Revenue's clearly going to take a hit. And I think that fight comes later down the line. Obviously, the NHL has a CBA contract talks coming up and all that stuff. So these are things that revenue will matter, and those fights will happen eventually. But they're more fortunate than baseball is, where they literally have to decide before the season how to split up the pie. That's difficult under any circumstances, let alone trying to get it done on a pandemic-induced deadline. So I think the NHL and NBA in that sense can count themselves fortunate.
All right, let's get a sports radio pick here. We love to do this in this industry, which is why we get made fun of all the time by every other media member. Who is your pick to win the Stanley Cup once they announce that this is coming back?
It's a great question, because it's so hard to know who's going to come. Like, the Flyers were on fire when they might have pulled the division away from the Caps for the first time in 5 years, the Metropolitan Division. I think in this case, I may go Tampa. I think in this scenario, maybe they'll have a little less pressure on them. That's a team that's kind of wilted before. The Caps beat them a couple years ago in the Eastern Conference Final. And they're obviously really talented, one of the best teams of the last 5, 6, 7 years. I think maybe this is Tampa's year to put all of that behind them and win a cup.
All right.
You mentioned the weirdness of watching these games without fans. I'm curious to ask you, because we just watched the match yesterday or 2 days, whenever it was. But the Tiger Phil thing, they had them mic'd up, and it was kind of fun to like hear the thought process behind it. And I feel like there's an opportunity when broadcasting sports to show a side of it that you can't usually show, and to try and find a positive out of not having fans in the arena. Is there anything that you would like to see hockey teams or the broadcast networks do that would enhance the viewing, I guess, experience, considering it's going to be weird and you're just going to hear stick sounds and skates and there's going to be no fans in the arena?
It's a great question. I mean, NBC Sports Washington, we have the Caps games, right? We air all the games. Now it's going to be different how they decide to do that, because it's going to be at neutral sites and all that, and you want to limit the number of people in the buildings, but they're still going to be on our air. So how do you do that? How do you show, you know, to me, I think you put mics on the bench, something like that, you know, pick up the ambient sound, even if it's on a little bit of a delay or something. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff that can't go out over the air, but at the same time, it allows you, and if let's say the games start in July, this gives you a couple of weeks, or maybe even a good month, for the broadcast partners to kind of figure out, hey, how do we present this package to fans in maybe a little bit different way, and give them a chance to kind of see, a side of the game or a side of the players that you don't get to see unless you're sitting really, really close to the benches or, that kind of thing. So to me, it is a great opportunity. I don't know how much they can do with it. Obviously, players don't necessarily want to be mic'd up in the middle of the Stanley Cup final game, but I do think it's an opportunity for the TV partners and the league to kind of showcase their players in a different way.
There we go. The NHL set to potentially return today. Gary Bettman at 1:30 our time is going to make a big announcement. So we thought we'd go out and talk to somebody who is familiar with what's going on in the NHL, someone who covers it for a living. Brian McNally from NBC Sports Washington in D.C. covers the Capitals and a whole lot more. Sports Writer of the Year. Congratulations on that one, Brian.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. All right, there we go. Brian McNally of NBC Sports Washington. How about that?
I'm excited for it, man. I'm excited. Hopefully the announcement looks good. We'll have to look at the dates, what they're kind of thinking, when they want to try and bring teams back. The hockey thing, I think, is unique, too, because they're completely changing the format. And I don't know. I haven't really reached out or talked to many hockey fans that I know just to gauge their interest on how they feel about that. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of it. I don't really understand the need for it. Maybe shortening the series, that kind of stuff. But they're completely overhauling the format. As long as you get sports back, though, and the NHL is one of them, I'm going to watch every second of it.
All right, a couple thoughts on that. The NHL, what they're planning to do. We'll read some thoughts on the NBA and what they're going to end up choosing as well. And then we'll get to the Tiger and Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning stuff at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. We'll do it next. Durton's Break, back with more on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 12:45 on Portland Sports Leader.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk about the Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson golf round that they had for the match two. Conditions were brutal.
They were, man. It was pouring rain.
I loved at one point it started really coming down, and Tom goes, I wonder when it's going to start raining hard. Just admit it. You become a Tom Brady stan like me.
No, it was. I loved watching him suck at golf. Although he did end up with the shot of the day, but I really enjoyed watching him suck.
Does that not describe golf to a T? The worst, by a wide margin, the worst golfer of the group has the best shot of the day.
Yeah, that basically sums it
that
up.
That was like the round when I got a hole in one.
You shoot like a 110.
I think I shot like a 118 with a hole in one, and you probably shot like an 87, and I had the hole in one. It makes no sense.
That's the way it works, man. That's why golf's a fun game. You can run into one every now and then.
That's very true.
You never know when your moment's going
to
come.
You know, I think, so you'd have to refresh my memory on this. I haven't seen the NHL stuff, but I also didn't know that this was coming down the pipeline until this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about doing a full-on 24-team tournament, correct?
There's going to be a 24-team tournament with a set, what is it, the top four seeds?
Top four seeds in each conference will get a bye. And so they'll pair it up 5-12, 6-11,
7-10, 8-9.
And it would be a short series. It would just be a best of five series.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that, well, the thinking
was,
why
don't you like that? That sounds great.
Well, I don't really know why that's necessary.
Well, because they still had 15% of the season left to play. And if you looked at the wild card standings in each conference, there were three or four teams that were within a game or two of getting into the wild card. And so they're hedging on, okay, do we play? Now, I think they're going through kind of what the NBA is. It's like, okay, we fulfilled all of our local TV contracts. This isn't a money thing. So do we haul all 30 teams or all 31 teams somewhere and pick and choose which of the last regular season games to play to sort out these teams?
They don't have a contract to reach the way the NBA does with regional networks.
Well, remember, their season starts 2 weeks before,
so they've reached that threshold.
They've played five or six more games than the NBA has.
It's only about 10 games left in the regular season, but that gets to the,
I would be with you if I was an NHL fan. I'd be with you on this.
I think they looked at the standings and said, we can clearly delineate which team still had a shot to make the playoffs, which four or five teams in each conference were out.
Yeah, my kind of thing is,
there's no perfect solution.
No, there's not. There's not. And look, I get that. I mean, hockey is a sport where you can get hot for three or four games and you end up making one of those wild card spots. My thing, and it goes back to what we're talking about with the NBA, is that you played basically an entire regular season. Now, did you finish all 82 games? No, you didn't get all the way there. But to me, you don't have something to bitch about if you're on the outside looking in. You had 70 games to take care of that. Like, Portland has nothing to complain about. Yes, the injury sucked, but you had 65 games to not lose to a bunch of bad teams.
Yeah. And
that's on you.
They for sure did. There's no doubt about that at all. This is where I will differ from you. I think when you're dealing with this situation of nobody being able to have their league back, and now we're starting to get to that point, even if I'm not entirely sold on it, I think we need to approach this the way we approached the home run derby. When they made that change a couple years ago, we were very critical. A lot of people didn't like it. And look, that's just a home run derby. That's an offset of baseball at the mid-classic break, right? But you look at that, and I remember it wasn't just our show. It was national shows and baseball people. I don't like that. Oh, do a home run derby this way. Ended up being great. And I might not be a big fan of the way the NBA announces their return, whether they do the group staging draw and mix it up 1 through 16 or just 6 regular season games. And then we're going 1 through 8 in the East and 1 through 8 in the West. I might not be a fan of what they ultimately decide. What I will be a fan of is that they return. And so I will share, like, yeah, initially not a big fan, but I'm going to go into every event in sports, baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever, and I'm going to be completely open-minded once it begins. How is this? How do I really feel about this? Do I think this is a really good idea? Did this work? Did this work better than they could have got without the pandemic happening?
Sure.
And I think that's why the top four teams got byes, to recognize they were clearly the best, and let's protect them from something fluky happening in this first round.
Losing in a three-game
series. But isn't that kind of what hockey is? It's fluky. It is.
Yeah, one loses the end. Yeah. Tampa Bay Lightning bounce, got swept by Carolina last year, right?
You can get a hot goaltender.
Yeah, I mean, hockey is almost the biggest outlier.
All four wild card teams last year won their first round series. Right. And a couple of them swept.
Yeah, your point is right, though. I mean, I'm going to share my thoughts on every single format that comes out. I'll do it with baseball. I'll do it with the NBA. I'll do it with hockey. I don't quite understand why you just wouldn't go 1-8 in the East, 1-8 versus in the West. And if you want to shorten the series because you want to
more teams.
They are.
Us more games.
Sure, they are giving you some more. Well, I don't know how that would break down if you did 1-8 with 7-game series you normally do, because they're shortening the first round series to just try and speed it up a little bit. But ultimately, I'm going to watch every second of this. Are you kidding me? You give me the Stanley Cup playoffs in the middle of July? I'm all over this. I will watch every single one of those games because I think there's a huge appetite for sports. And I'll say the same. Dude, the NBA could come out with that tier idea where it's like the World Cup, and I'll sit here and I'll bitch about it, but I will watch every second of it. And I think a lot of sports fans are that way. I'm going to share my thoughts on what the format should be and what kind of format I would like, but it doesn't mean I'm not excited for it to come back.
Yeah, somebody says this makes sense for the NHL. They have way more parity than the NBA.
They do.
Maybe
I get
you
that
get
point.
A drastic upset.
And
of
the nature of the game, I mean, 4-2 is a giant blowout. But then if you look at, okay, the other team gets a good bounce to go in, and then and the team that's winning, you know, got a fluky bounce, or you don't get a crucial penalty call, it can easily be 2-2 going to overtime. The nature of the game is such that it can completely flip on one fluky bounce.
I think in the NBA, and I'll say this for hockey because they're very similar in a certain regard with their playoffs, unless they're going to agree to do a one-and-done tournament the way the NCAA tournament does, which they won't.
Which would be great, though, if you did 1-30, you can do 31, but the NBA can do 1-32.
Yeah, the tough thing with the NBA, I think initially it's great, and then you like get two random teams that nobody wants in the chance. It's just like the tournament.
Sure.
The upsets are always fun in the NCAA tournament, and then you get to about the Sweet 16 and you're like,
oh, they're still in there, huh?
I don't want St. Mother Teresa from Little Pennsylvania to be in the final, the Elite Eight or the Final Four or anything like that. You want the best of the best to emerge. Unless they do that, I'm not going to look at any champion in any league as like asterisk.
No,
I don't understand why we're doing that. The NHL is going to be a very different format. If they go with what you're saying, the 24 teams, they go to Vegas, they go to Florida and they play. The NBA could have a very different format as well. But as long as they're doing best of sevens in the actual playoffs, I don't think we should be looking back and going, well, that's an asterisk. They played most of the regular season. The best teams clearly established themselves, whether health or not, and anything to do with it. It's kind of what basketball and sports is in general. Who stayed healthy, who didn't. And if they play full series, I'm going to look back and say, 2020 was super weird, but the Clippers don't count as the NBA champion because they had to play in Orlando and there was no home court. Right. Everybody has to deal with these circumstances. No home court, no fan noise. Every team playing has to deal with it. There's not some advantage that one team has over the other.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I don't understand that argument. The sport is still the same. And as long as you're not changing the rules or the format of the sport, why are we discounting who ends up winning? Like, just because there's not fans in the arena.
Yeah.
That has never made any sense to me. I do think, and it'll tie into the conversation we have about the match, I think a huge challenge for every single one of them, and this is hopefully we get them all, like, you think about what July could look like, man. It's exciting. There's a potential to have all the major sports back in baseball and hockey and the NBA all going on at the same time in July. And it would be a lot of fun. I would love it. I think the challenge for them is to find unique ways to both rope viewers in, but also enhance the viewing experience. I think there are ways to do it, whether it's miking up people, whether it's more interviews with people while they're playing.
Do you want hockey to have fan noise or not piped in?
I'd be okay with that.
Is hockey a weird... I've never been in a rink. I've obviously seen highlights of practice. I've never heard what it sounds like. Does it sound weird?
It's no different than the NBA. You're going to hear all the squeaking and the ball bouncing. You're going to hear the skates and the sticks and the boards. And all those kind of in-game sounds are going to be enhanced. But I do think there's a way that you can change up the style in which you broadcast, because you can't rely on a great atmosphere and fans going crazy and a big goal is scored and you back out as a commentator because you have 25,000 people losing their minds. I think that's a big challenge for all of them. And I hope that they can find a positive positive out of the negative there that would really enhance it for everybody that's watching at home.
Yeah, would Doc Emmerich's goal call lose some of its luster if he had the same energy right. as if it was a packed arena right. going crazy yeah. on a, let's just say, Washington Capitals goal? The whole arena's going nuts. And he's screaming over that.
Right.
If that's no longer there and it's just Doc Emmerich on your TV and they're celebrating on the ice, does it lose its luster a little bit?
It could.
Or does Doc yeah. Emmerich not lose anything off that? He makes
he's
it even
the
better.
Same. Yeah. He's just screaming his head off the right. entire game like everything's normal.
Because say what you want about piping in noise and people giving guys like Joe Buck a hard time for saying Fox might do it for the NFL. That's not easy to, first of all, even being a play-by-play guy is difficult yeah. in itself. Yeah. You add now, what is your attitude or your approach to an empty arena if you're in there and they can maybe hear you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you need yeah. to be a Debbie Downer calling a game, but do you bring the exact same energy you do as if the arena was
yeah.
full?
Well, fortunately for hockey, the announcers are usually at the top of the arena or up a couple of decks side. So they can see down on top. Because you can't be down right next to the glass. Your vision's too obstructed with all the views and angles and stuff. So I think hockey announcers will have some freedom to just do their normal thing. It'll echo funny throughout the building. But
well, you also have to ask the question, too, is how many, I mean, are you even going to bring them? Because there's not even a guarantee that they're in the arena.
Or will they be in a sound studio yeah. in New York doing all the games?
I told you, I think that's what they should do.
And if that's the case, then they can lose the rest because then there's not that awkward, I'm in a silent arena.
Yeah, you're watching as a fan almost
in
that regard.
I think I saw, it was Matt Vaskirjian did an interview, who of course does Sunday Night Baseball now, and he did an interview saying if baseball is to return and they're hopeful to have Sunday Night Baseball, that kind of stuff, he said they'd be at home yeah. or in a studio
yeah, you
or
don't
something.
Need to be at the ballpark.
No, you want to limit yeah. risk for everybody,
well,
and that includes the broadcast.
If you have multiple teams and games going on at the same site, then I think they'll probably put one reporter there.
Why?
Just in case, to hunt stuff down about injuries and that sort
hunt
of thing.
Hunt stuff down. The sideline reporter has been the biggest joke in sports media for 20 years now.
How
Let's go down
you.
To Pam Oliver. Pam, what can you tell us? The coach wants him to play harder and his ankle kind of hurts.
Well, fortunately,
thanks,
hockey mastered that with the guys that are actually inside the glass sitting right there in between the two benches and can hear all the conversation. It's much better than, yeah, the token yeah. sideline football reporter.
Do hockey players talk trash?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big time.
You probably can't yeah. hear it, though, even in an empty arena with the skate sounds.
Dude,
huh?
Hockey trash talk's actually really good.
What is it like? Your beard's not good, eh?
Did you watch the old Road to the Winter Classic thing on HBO?
I watched some of that, yeah.
Because that was
when the first couple years when they were yeah. doing that, yeah.
And they would air it like a week or two later. It was basically like a Hard Knocks en route to the Winter Classic. But they would have guys mic'd up during games, and they, of course, would play it afterwards, so you wouldn't hear it in real time, but the trash talk is phenomenal.
Well, that's what I'm in for in sports. You give me the trash talk in any league and I'm in.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, we'll kick off hour two with the match part two. Tiger and Peyton versus Phil and Tom Brady. Did you watch? What did you think of it? I actually thought there was something to take away in a positive way. And we'll talk about that. Also, Tom Brady's a liar. An 8 handicap? My ass. We'll talk about that hour two straight ahead. Dirt and Sprague. We're back with more on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.